Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the TNT News Hour on BBSRadio.com. I am your host, Don Nikoloff, and I will be with you for the next hour. And it's so nice to have you with me here on April 30th of the year 2008. And this is a Wednesday afternoon. Well, what are we going to talk about today? Lots of things. I had the opportunity, as some of the listening audience may have had, to audit the unauditable or inauditable, I don't know what the correct word is there, I should probably look it up in a dictionary, records of the FDA, and there have been some hearings that I caught on C-SPAN. Can't watch much of C-SPAN these days. I just have a distaste for the corruption going on in politics. And you may hear a phone ringing in the background. I am on the air right now, so I can't really speak to anyone on the phone, but that person who is calling me could kindly call me back in about an hour. I will speak to them. In any event, watched C-SPAN yesterday, and I watched quite a bit of several events, one of them being these aforementioned FDA hearings. Now, the FDA hearings were supposedly based upon an examination and investigation into heparin contamination, which has resulted in the deaths of 81 people. Believe the 81 people are all Americans, although that's not 100% clear, and the number could be substantially higher, as is usually the case. Depends on what jurisdiction the particular coroner is diagnosing and determining the cause of death of a particular individual. Heparin seems to contribute largely to problems of the kidneys, forcing people to go on to dialysis, and eventually that's the fast track to the end of the road, so to speak. And I was kind of disappointed in what I read in an online New York Times article. I'm presuming that this article was also in the paper itself. It is disturbing to witness the charade that goes on in these committee meetings, although this was centered around the loss of these 81 people, and the families had previously spoken to the Special Congressional Oversight Committee that was superseding over these hearings. I didn't have a chance to listen to the accounts of the families, but I presume that they were very moving, very heartfelt, and there was probably a lot of disgust and anger with the Food and Drug Administration, as well as the government's lax attitude about how the Food and Drug Administration operates. I'm going to read an article which was written by Gardner Harris of the Times, and this was in yesterday's New York, or, well, I should say today's New York Times, in regard to yesterday, or April 29th, 2008, hearing. And then I'm going to talk about some things that I actually witnessed myself in the hearing, and bring out some facts that I do know. Washington. Federal drug regulators believe that a contaminant detected in crucial blood thinner that has caused 81 deaths was added deliberately, something the Food and Drug Administration has only hinted at previously. FDA's working hypothesis is that this was intentional contamination, but this is not yet proven. Dr. Janet Woodcock, director of the Food and Drug Administration's Drug Center, told the House Subcommittee on Oversight and Investigations in written testimony given Tuesday. a third of the material in some batches of the thinner heparin were contaminants, and it does strain one's credulity to suggest that might have been done accidentally, Dr. Woodcock said. 2 weeks ago, Food and Drug Commissioner Andrew C. von Eschenbach told a Senate subcommittee that the contamination was done by virtue of economic fraud, but he quickly withdrew the remark, saying he had probably gone too far. Dr. Woodcock's statement on Tuesday was part of growing chorus that has labeled the heparin contamination as perhaps the most brazen poisoning episode since 1982, when 7 people in the Chicago area died after taking Tylenol that had been laced with cyanide. The Tylenol case led to substantial changes in product packaging, and the heparin contamination has led both Democratic and Republican committee members to call for major changes in the way the FDA functions and is financed. Tuesday's hearing was also the first in which family members of those who died were asked to testify. Leroy Hubley of Toledo, Ohio, described how both his 65-year-old wife and his 47-year-old son died within a few weeks of each other. Both suffered from a genetic kidney disease that required constant dialysis, for which heparin is routinely used. As Christmas music softly played in the background, we each said our goodbyes, Mr. Hubley said, breaking down in tears. Then my wife and love of 48 years drifted away. He did not know for weeks after their deaths that his wife Bonnie and son Randy had been given contaminated heparin. Now, I am left to deal not only with the pain of losing my wife and son, but angry that an unsafe drug was permitted to be sold in this country, he said. David G. Struntz, chief executive of Scientific Protein Laboratories, the company that supplied contaminated heparin material to Baxter International, which manufactured and distributed the finished drug, described the contamination as an insidious act that seems to us an intentional act upstream in the supply chain. The FDA has identified Changzhou SPL, a Chinese subsidiary of Scientific Protein Laboratories, as the source of the contaminated heparin. A congressional investigator said the contaminant, oversulfated chondroitin sulfate, cost $9 a pound compared with $900 a pound for heparin. Mr. Struntz said that his company tried to find the original source of the contamination but was stopped by the Chinese authorities. Robert L. Parkinson, I think I'm wondering if that's where we get the name Parkinson's disease, just a little quip there, Baxter's chairman and chief executive told the committee, "We're alarmed that one of our products was used in what appears to have been a deliberate scheme to adulterate a life-saving medication." Chinese officials have disputed the FDA contention that the contaminant caused death and injury, and they have insisted on the right to inspect American drug plants if the FDA insists on inspecting Chinese ones. David Nelson, a congressional investigator, told the House panel that the FDA inspected the Chinese plant, the contamination could have been averted. FDA officials have admitted that they mistakenly failed to conduct an inspection of the Changzhou SPL plant, but said that an inspection would not have been able to uncover the contamination. The agency finally conducted an inspection of the facility in February and found so many problems that the FDA blocked the plant from exporting to the United States. Mr. Nelson was even more critical of Baxter International, which bought heparin ingredients from Changzhou SPL from 2004 through 2008, but did not inspect the facility until September 2007. The company sent one person who spent one day in the plant, Mr. Nelson said. 5 months later, the FDA discovered myriad problems, he said. It really is impossible for a plant to have fallen that far out of compliance in 5 months, Mr. Nelson said. Under withering questioning, Dr. Woodcock said the FDA would need another $225 million annually to inspect every foreign drug plant every other year, the frequency most say is needed. The agency will spend $11 million this year on foreign drug inspections. There is a growing bipartisan consensus on Capitol Hill that the FDA needs a rapid increase in its budget to ensure the safety of the nation's drugs, medical devices, and food. The Bush administration has proposed increasing the agency's budget next year by only 3% to $1.8 billion. Not enough, let me repeat that, not enough to cover even its expected cost increases. This should raise a myriad of questions, this article. I'm finished reading it, by the way, and it's time for my commentary and probably somewhat of a rant. I'm pleased that this writer, Gardner Harris, decided to print or publish this statement that I heard from Dr. Woodcock, who is the head of the drug agency or the drug, division of the FDA. And I found her information much in agreement with some of the congressmen, particularly the head of the committee, to be so misleading and so devoid of any substance that I became quite angry and quite disgusted with what I was seeing on the C-SPAN broadcast. Let it suffice to say that most of us can think of a myriad of ways to spend $225 million. And in addition to that, she was requesting an additional $100 million to inspect drug companies and labs that are responsible for producing heparin, or I would like to think it would be any drug would be inspected and tested and tested and tested and not part of this sort of extortionist plateau that you have to reach to get a drug approved. It takes up to 12 years on average to get a drug approved through the FDA, and the general cost to the company that is trying to get that drug approved is around $824 million. Is money that they spend. Now, how much of this goes to the FDA is in question. However, many whistleblowers and many critics of the FDA and the pharmaceutical industry astutely point out that at least 50% of the people working for the FDA are actually on the pharmaceutical company payroll. In other words, the pharmaceutical companies are paying these salaries of 50% of the people that work for the FDA. Now, how many is that? I don't know. I have no idea. In fact, I would surmise that Dr. Woodcock herself couldn't tell you how many, because she couldn't tell you how many of these inspections had occurred. In fact, the head of the committee took an average between 30 and 50 years of inspection. In other words, once in 30 years, or once in 40 years, or once in 50 years, he was being on the lenient side, saying that probably one inspection in 30 years occurred at one of these drug manufacturing plants overseas. Now, is it up to us to do the inspecting of the plant, or is it the issue of what is in the medicine? Actually, you're not buying the plant, you're not buying the facility, you're not buying the lab, you're buying the product. And you're using the product, being told that the product is going to make you healthy or bring you some relief for some disease that they probably created with another drug. And we're talking about just masking symptoms here. We're not even talking about healing. So the issue of what the Food and Drug Administration is all about has nothing to do with healing. It has everything to do with toxins and toxicity. And yes, toxins do kill. In this case, heparin is specifically attributed to 81 deaths and probably should be in the thousands more. And worldwide, maybe even millions. And that these people have to have more money with the budget I just described. One drug generating $824 million. Where does this money go? Now, the research and the salaries and the cost of the medicines is really minuscule in comparison to the amount of money we're talking about here. And the drug companies, we know, have certain drugs that cost several pennies to produce, and yet the markup is as high as 56,000 to 57,000%. 57,000 times what it costs them to make. They're not making enough money to do their own inspections and to maintain a standard. Well, you have hypocrisy going on here, folks. You have people trying to escape the blame for inadequacies of what they do. One life lost because of taking a drug is too much. And if they cannot determine that someone is going to get healed or be healthy, the drug should be off of the market, period. All it is legalized illegal drugs. It's like the illegal drug trade. Now, this woman cannot substantiate what it costs to actually carry out these inspections, and the average of actual inspections anywhere in the world is every 2.5 years. Well, they're bringing these new drugs out as often as every 2.5 days, if you watch any TV commercials. And there are many, many drugs being sold on TV that have not been approved by the FDA, and yet they go after the people that have actual cures, herbal cures, natural remedies. They put them out of business as fast as they can. Some of them get fined exorbitant amounts of money, and they're thrown in prison, and their facilities, their research facilities or production facilities and labs are destroyed. This has been the case with cancer. It's been the case with AIDS. It's been the case with herpes simplex 2 and a variety of other diseases. Every year, the Jerry Lewis Telethon brings in millions of dollars, and they give us this line, we're a little bit closer, we're a little bit closer, and people foolishly give them the money when all the while they know the cause for certain diseases, multiple sclerosis, muscular dystrophy. Many researchers are coming forward with groundbreaking information that those are caused by infections. And so the standard antibiotics, which often attack the immune system of a person, may not be the best solution. And certainly in the case of cancer, chemotherapy is a fast track to kick in the bucket. So we have so much hypocrisy going on with these people, and what are they asking for? More money? Are you telling me that 57,000% increase in the cost, or we're talking about profit? 57,000% profit is not enough. Now, it's not all drugs. Some drugs are only 400 or 20,000% profit. These people are making money hand over fist. You've got politicians protecting them with the laws. You've got the medical society turning away from this issue. All of these doctors that have been licensed and sworn under the Hippocratic Oath to bring healing and sound health to their patients are part of the conspiracy as well. No one can doubt that. And I would certainly debate any of them. I've listened to doctors talk about the intentional adding of various components like chlorine and fluoridation to our drinking water, saying that it hasn't been shown that that's damaging to one's health. Yet we know they use it for purposes of mind control and really drugging, and it's their toxins. How can fluoride, a byproduct of aluminum manufacturing, be healthy for anyone? How in the world can they make those claims? Well, it hasn't been proven. And I've heard dentists say flat out that that's a hoax, that that claim is totally false, that there's no substantiation whatsoever. In fact, it causes more problems. If you consider just the fact that they're making a claim that it prevents dental cavities, how many of you drink tap water and have cavities? Let me ask you that question. Answer that question for yourself. If you're drinking tap water or you're in a restaurant or a fast food place and they give you ice in your drink, you are drinking tap water. Do you have cavities? Do you have false teeth? Have you had to have teeth pulled? Have you had root canals? Because these toxins affect your health, and they affect more than your teeth. And I if that was the case, God would have made toothbrushes or at least inspired man to make toothbrushes out of aluminum and put aluminum bristles on them. The insanity of this world. So this is all about money. It's all about money, and it's all about how much they can make before somebody puts a stop to it and they come up with their next scheme to hoodwink you in another way. Now, heparin is also used as a blood thinner. It's used in other products and given names. Coumadin is a very well-known name. There are many people, after having a heart attack or after having some arterial circulatory type of problem, they are given Coumadin, usually after a stroke. I suspected that Coumadin was behind my father's most recent episode, and I'm sure many listeners out there know someone who's had to go back to the hospital complaining of severe headaches because they can't regulate what blood thinner does to your system. It's different in every person, and so you're basically playing Russian roulette when you take these drugs. Now, my father's moving along a more holistic approach, and we'll be looking at natural herbs as a replacement. But to go through the pain and the suffering that these medicines are causing under the guise of being cures is ridiculous. And here you have these people on television trying to shirk the responsibility for their inadequacies and their non-performance of their duties. They claim to be a federal agency concerned about your health, and yet they're in a co-conspiracy with the pharmaceutical companies and the oil cartel. And the oil cartel. Let me say it one more time. And the oil cartel. What business do we have putting petroleum in products that we consume? And yet we hear these warnings that it's unsafe to use microwave ovens for a variety of reasons. Basically, when you're eating microwave heated food, it's still cooking in your body. So for that reason alone, it's not safe. But and what material do they generally use or recommend or provide in some of these microwave meals? These pre-cooked or pre-prepared meals that people buy. It's in plastic, and plastic is made from oil. And so when you subject plastic to microwaves, it becomes modified. It breaks down. It transforms into something else, and the food absorbs that. And then when you eat the food, you absorb what is in the plastic. Is the FDA stopping that from happening? No. They are not. Why not? Because the oil companies are making money in the plastic industry. Look around you and see how much plastic you have. But they tell you, oh, it's dangerous to heat this with plastic wrap on it. Yet they tell you, heat it with plastic wrap so when you're heating the food, it doesn't splatter all over the oven. Listen to the hypocrisy. Listen to the contradictions in what they tell you to do. And you can see it's absolutely insane. The bottom line is they would prefer that you eat that food out of a plastic container with plastic covering so that you absorb those toxins into your system and get sick. Because then you're forced or stupidly encouraged. And I say stupidly because we're just as stupid for believing what they're saying when their track record proves that these are just toxins. And they're masking agents to hide the symptoms of a disease. And it can only take a root in you for so long, and then your body comes up with another illness. Because your body was designed by your creator to be healthy. Naturally healthy, with natural products, not these synthetic products that they're making. And they're making synthetic products out of oil or petroleum, and they're making synthetic products out of oil and other things that exist. Just by changing one molecule in these substances. And all it is alchemy. It's just like what they did in the Middle Ages, only they put a little bit of a flair to it. They have a professional announcer tell you about it, and they have actors portraying a visual image that has nothing to do with your particular problem. Why do I need to see a band, a musical band, or a group of guys in a cabin, in a log cabin setting with a fireplace going, and these guys are wearing their jeans and their flannel shirts, sitting on stools, singing Viva Viagra? What does that do? What does that do for any man, for any man's libido? What is it about that image that should make me want to go out and buy that product? But we don't even think about the mind control and the brainwashing techniques that are used to get us to think and believe that these products actually do us some good. Wait till the lawsuits over Viagra start, or Cialis and all of these other drugs that they have. It's insanity that we buy into this stuff. And as if that is important, as if that's the only thing that life is about. They're just peddling sex and peddling sexuality and promiscuity and being very blatant about it. Now, it used to be that you couldn't even say certain words on television, and now you can't watch a TV program without hearing it. Talk about contamination of the mind. Where's the FDA when it comes to that? And we have laws about selling drugs, and yet it's perfectly legal for a TV announcer or a voiceover character to do a TV commercial and literally tell you to use a product. He's prescribing the product to you, he or she. And so is the ad agency. And the media, the TV companies, the TV networks are co-conspirators. They're practicing medicine without a license. But it's okay because the drug companies are the ones paying for the commercials. It's okay. They overlook that, you see, because the media, the mainstream media, is part of the same conspiracy. And this is not conspiracy theory. It's quite obvious that that's going on all over the board. We could get into food additives as well, and I've talked about that on my Evident Footprints show with world-renowned experts in these issues. So this is not something new. You can listen to Patriot Networks and hear the same thing. Now, we have quite a bit of discussion here on BBS Radio about these topics, about health, about all the different methods they use to assault our freedom and our spiritual sovereignty. I listened to enough said about that topic for right now, but let it sink in a little bit, and by all means, do some research. Another topic, and again, I saw this on C-SPAN. I was getting emails and calls from people. Did you hear the president's speech? What do I expect to hear from someone that seems to have a compulsion to stray from the truth? What do I expect to hear from such a person? Well, I listened to a Rose Garden press interview. Now, I was unable to hear the speech and figured there wasn't much substance to it. But when I listened to the Rose Garden interview, I got several quotes from the speech during that from the president. So I could basically tell what he was saying in the speech, even though I didn't hear it. Now, what was interesting from the field reporters, and these were all the mainstream reporters that you see on NBC, ABC, CBS, CNN, Headline News, and any other news channel that you would watch, Fox also. And they would begin asking their questions, and the president rudely interrupted them before they even got the whole question out. It became a sparring match as to who was going to control how or what question was going to be asked. And I got the impression that the president was either drunk or somewhat inebriated and on drugs. I saw one of the most dysfunctional representations of public speaking I've ever seen in my life. He couldn't even do his regular shoulder shrugs and his little head bobbing like a bobblehead doll when he thinks he said something funny. In fact, he went out of his way to try to be funny over some very serious topics. One reporter brought up something about the election, and then he's just adamantly refusing to answer the question that he's not going to be part of the campaign for 2008, as if the issue is already decided, or as if he knows the outcome of it, or doesn't want to be implicated in the outcome of it. Because it's obvious there's quite a bit of vote fraud corruption going on. Though the media spins their story, we're now judging the ethics and the moral character of Barack Obama's church minister. Is he running for the presidency? Why are we talking about someone else? It's part of the spin, you see. They have your mind off of what's really going on, just like the story I told you about the FDA. They have you thinking about the fear factor of what would happen, and then I listened to the spin about 9/11 and Iraq and Afghanistan, and we're winning the war. We're winning the war at what cost? Thousands and thousands of our soldiers coming back without arms and legs and with deranged minds and crushed spirit. We're winning the war. Who's winning the war? Who's making money? That's where the question should lie. And then the answers that you find are appalling. That babies are being born with deformities that can only be attributed to radiation exposure or chemical exposure. Fallujah, there's a mountain of evidence about Fallujah. And what we heard in the media and what is reported from the soldiers coming back as well as people that were there witnessing events, it's a completely different story that we were told. And we're told we don't torture, yet the pictures from Abu Ghraib came out. And then they say, we don't torture. And then all kinds of lawsuits at Guantanamo Bay have come out. And we don't torture. And then we saw waterboarding videos where they simulate drowning by putting a rag over a person's face, pouring water on their nose and their mouth with this rag over their face. And they can't breathe and they're ingesting water. And they're tied down to a stretcher to where they can't move. So they cannot protect themselves. It's torture. Pure and simple is torture. But we do not torture. So waterboarding is not torture, or causing someone to stand nude on a bucket with electrical probes attached to their fingertips and a hood over the head is not torture. These people are demonic Satan worshipers and perverts of the highest order, but they don't torture. This is the person giving the press conference. One of the boys, one of the club, one of the secret societies. And for the first time, I heard him say, "Yeah, now the economy is we're in a really bad place right now with the economy. We have problems." Well, I've been saying that to you as a journalist, as a talk show host, and as a guest on other talk shows for the past 2 years. I've been stating that we are being robbed blind. And there are people agreeing with me. There are people waking up to that fact. But the thievery is still going on, and it's being conducted by the Federal Reserve and the IRS and central banks, as usual. That's just part of it, but it's all being played into the hands of the multinational corporations that used to be here in the United States and have moved, giving our jobs to other people at a pittance of what we used to make, what our workers would make, after hoodwinking us into getting college educations, getting degrees, getting all the certifications. The jobs are taken out and given to people in foreign countries. Why? Because their mission, their goal is to destroy this nation and to destroy its people. In fact, they're doing this all over the planet. We're not the only ones. But we are the last bastion of freedom. And if we don't wake up to the fact that this is going on, they will achieve their goal. And then I don't want to hear from those that want to whine and complain. There are people that actually think that our president is the best president that we've ever had. Well, I give them their freedom to have that opinion. And I have my own. And I can tell you that if history books were written in truth, the way history really went down, or the way it's going down in real time now, this one would be at the bottom of the totem pole. He might even be down underground, underneath the totem pole. In accomplishments, what accomplishments has this president to his credit? What accomplishment? You go around the country, you see roads deteriorating. They just repaved roads in Ohio last year, and they've got 3-foot potholes, 3-foot wide and 3-foot deep in places. Big chunks of road. Well, what do they make the roads out of now? Asphalt. And where does asphalt come from? Petroleum. And they're putting petroleum into synthetic rubber. So the auto industry and the petroleum company, hand in hand again. And look at gas prices. And the issue of rising gas prices came up from the baby boy oil family, the baby boys oil family, the oil cartel, the Bush family. The Scherf family. Scherf is their real German Nazi name, not Bush. And so we hear this spin. Ethanol is really good. Ethanol, natural ethanol from the corn feed. We make the ethanol, and that's going to solve our energy problem. That's a bunch of crap, because they know that they shut down the Prudhoe Bay fields in Alaska. They shut down fields all over the United States. We have more oil, four times more oil than Saudi Arabia and Colorado alone. In the Green River find, which is shale oil, and they can get it. There's 2 trillion barrels of oil that they can get. Oh, it might cost a little bit more money. I hear now from Lindsey Williams, who was a pretty recent guest on my Evident Footprint show, and wrote the book, The Non-Oil Crisis. When I listen to all these people talk about, yeah, we're out of oil now. And they talked about that. Yeah, we're almost out of oil. When the reality is that the earth keeps reproducing oil. It's not an artifact left over from decayed plants and dinosaurs. There's, in fact, the earth keeps producing oil. We should not even be using oil, let alone we have a reality and a society and a planet controlled by the people that control the oil. They've made it their pawn, or they've made us pawns. And Lindsey Williams, many years ago, came out saying that by 2008, the price of gasoline would rise to $5 a gallon. And it's in many places in California, it's already over $4 a gallon, and the rest of the country is not too far behind. Past $3.50 a gallon. It's just 50 cent difference. And how much of that is tax? And what do they do with the taxes? Are they fixing the roads? No. In fact, you don't even know that the taxes are being collected, because what they're doing is they're printing more money at the Federal Reserve out of thin air. And what are they giving up for it? They're giving up land. They're giving up infrastructure. We've got China, what's the word I want to use? Haggling over whether or not we will give them a permission to build a Chinese port on the Baja Peninsula. What the hell does China need a port on our land for? And why would our insane politicians even entertain that possibility? Yet that's what's going on. They already took Long Beach, California, over. All they have to do is just ship a container of soldiers over here, and it's over. But they've already done that in New Mexico and other parts of the Southwest. You got Russian soldiers up in Idaho, Montana, and Washington State, just sitting and waiting, working for the UN. The insanity going on is mind-boggling. It's so insane that it's surprising anyone has a mind left to even say the word mind-boggling. Where do we go from here? We've got to start discerning and seeing what is going on in this world, and just putting our foot down and demanding something new, something else. The system cannot be worked from within. It's totally corrupted. It's totally compromised. And why would you want to use that system? Why would you want to rework the same system? Because it's not going to work. It never has, because it's never been what we've been told it has been. Going back to this topic of the FDA, we're told that it's they're a watchdog organization, that they are managing the food. Where's their expertise on food? What is it about being in Washington, D.C. that qualifies one to know about food from all over the world? And they can't seem to be, they don't seem to be doing a good job about that. If they did a good job, would we have E. coli on our spinach and on our lettuce and other crops? Would they be allowing airplanes, regardless as to whom they belong to spray chemtrails in our skies, poisoning our food, poisoning our water? Would they allow that to happen? And they're putting drugs in those plumes that they're spraying in the skies. Are they condoning that? They must be, because they're not interested in putting a stop to it. What are we doing about it? We're ignorant. We're ignorant about it. Oh, those are contrails. Yeah, that happens from the jets because of the condensation. Crying out loud, it's 90 degrees outside where you are and 10,000 feet altitude. You've got clouds forming, toxic, noxious substances falling down upon you, and you wonder why you're hacking and coughing and sneezing and wheezing for months at a time. I know people that are doing this constantly and have been to the doctor, and the doctor can't tell them what the problem is. They're taking medicine and it doesn't go away. And you've got the Food and Drug Administration ignoring the fact, and so does the Center for Disease Control. In fact, they're just more alphabet agencies. You know, we've got the FBI and the CIA and the DEA and the DIA and the ONI and the OSS and then we have the FDA and the CDC and all the diseases that they create and invent have three letters, RLS and PAL and PLC and on and on and on. And it actually gives you a hint as to who's behind the controlling. All they can come up with is three letters, except for the word FEMA. And it has nothing to do with what they claim it is. And then they have Department of Homeland Security, DHS. Everything is three letters. Why is that? Even the media outlets, NBC, ABC, CNN, CBS, HNN, FOX. And if you look a little closer, you can see the numerology behind why they use those letters. Because they all work out to sixes. You have 666, 666, 666, 666, which is the number of the Antichrist, which is the number of evil. And they put it everywhere. They put it right in front of your nose, and you don't see it. Well, some people do. I shouldn't say it like my listening audience is not aware. Because many of the listeners are very awake and very aware of all of this stuff going on. Everybody throws their hands up in the air and says, what do we do? What can one do? Well, one thing would be get off your rear end and stop spending so much time in front of the boob tube. And, you know, start loving your family, start loving your friends, start loving your town and your state. And maybe you'll start to love your country and you'll start to care about it instead of being apathetic. I get the feeling that people sort of find themselves here accidentally, and in many cases, against their will. And I ask myself, why is it that I and many people I know who are researchers or talk show hosts or just people that care about these things, why is it that we are different? Is it because we came here to sort of help others see the truth and things for a change instead of believing in all these illusions? Is it that we're light bearers, or we're called light bearers because we're shining the light where there is none? I mean, how many of you can drive down the highway at night with your lights off in certain parts of the country or certain parts of your own town? It would be deadly to do that. Yet everything else we do in our life is sort of like driving with your lights off. How would it be at night for you to navigate your way through your home with absolutely no light? How would you cook a meal if you couldn't see what you were getting out of the refrigerator or out of your prepackaged box of ready to eat, open it up, and it cooks itself right before your eyes, meal? What would you think if you could see really what you were putting into your body and into your mind was doing to your body and your mind? What if you could see it? And I could say, you can, if you just look around, open your eyes, open your ears, open your mind, and even open your heart, and you can see. And you can understand, and then maybe you will be part of the solution. Maybe you will add something to the solution. They certainly don't want you to do that on the mainstream news. If they did, you would hear about solutions instead of the problems. You'd hear, instead of the fear-mongering, you would hear a solution. And you would feel like, yeah, I'm going to do something about that. But and instead, and I don't know about you, but I get a feeling of disgust when I listen to the spin put on normal, simple logic. It's a disease anymore. This insatiable desire to worship celebrity. I don't ask anyone to worship me, and I don't consider myself a celebrity. I have a talk show on BBS radio 5 nights a week. People from all over the world listen to my show. They send me emails. Once in a while they call in. I'm getting lots of hits on my website because of some pictures that I posted, some photographs. People respond to stimuli, and I guess what they see is one way. Of course, the media has trained us for that. But how many really think? How many really think? Really contemplate on any topic that they're interested in, and really try to understand what the bottom line is, what the truth is, what it means. How many people ever ask themselves who they are or why they're here? I get the feeling that very few people on the planet do that. Well, they've been conditioned to be that way. Well, we have leaders, two who I saw. I mean, they're called leaders. I don't really consider them leaders in their performance. They've been given the opportunity to perform. One is the president. When I don't hear the truth come out of his mouth about a variety of things that I happen to know quite a bit about, and he's intentionally obfuscating the truth, I tend not to trust anything that he says. We can't be right about everything. We can make mistakes, all of us. None of us are perfect. But there's a difference between making an occasional mistake or intentionally misleading people about everything. And there's really not much difference between the two programs that I saw on C-SPAN yesterday. And while I'm at it, I'll mention here before the end of the show that there's some new Ron Paul videos that just came out about the delegates in Reno, Nevada. They decided to vote for Ron Paul, and as they were swinging their support to Ron Paul, the GOP shut down completely the whole event. Walked out in disgust. They've done this also, they did it in Missouri. Yet you hear nothing about Ron Paul. John McCain, I saw a YouTube video someone sent me. John McCain has got 24,000 YouTube videos online. Hillary Clinton is somewhere in the high 50s or 60s, I think. And then Barack Obama has got 84,000 of these. But there's no mention of Ron Paul. He has 117,000. He's got 37% of all the videos that are out there, and they don't give him any credit for that. Why is that? Because they don't want us to know. They don't want us to know. But someone actually made a YouTube video pointing that fact out. And the whole campaign issue is a farce. Anyway, we're not getting the truth about the vote fraud that's going on. We had it go on in 2000 and again in 2004. When Bush ran against Al Gore and then when he ran against John Kerry. And if you can't see the pattern in a Bush and then a Clinton and then another Bush and now they're pushing for another Clinton, can you see there? Can you see in that that there's a conspiracy going on? Well, we're out of time, folks. I may continue on along these lines next week. Anyway, it's been a pleasure having you with me on the TNT News Hour here on bbsradio.com. Join me tonight on Evident Footprints, 10 p.m. Pacific time. My special guest will be Ken Adachi, and we're going to be talking about some solutions to some of the things that we talked about, particularly the energy crisis. And in the meantime, I want to thank Don Newsom for doing the sound and making this show possible. And I'll see you on this show next week, same time, same place, and tonight on Evident Footprints. In the meantime, have a great day, and I'll see you next week. Bye now.
$5,000 per week take you? Discover the exact details of a simple and proven system that quickly puts $5,000 to $10,000 in many students' pockets every week. What's most amazing is that there are almost no computer skills required, and you can start pulling in cash automatically within just a few hours. We are absolutely convinced that our proven system will create massive wealth for virtually anyone, and we'll prove it. Go to bbscashflow.com now and get all the details. That's bbscashflow.com.